And today is officially Asteroid Day, a day set aside to raise awareness about those giant rocks hurtling through space. But there's another fast-flying object in the sky that has the space community on the edge of their seats. In just 2 weeks, NASA's spacecraft New Horizons is expected to finally encounter its target, Pluto. After 9 years and 3 billion miles, it is the longest, farthest, and fastest ever space mission. Alan Stern is leading the mission. He's with us from Boulder, Colorado, where he works at the Southwest Research Institute. Alan, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, it's been almost a decade now since New Horizons launched. Does it feel that way to you?
Time flies when you're having fun. We've crossed the entirety of the solar system, and now we're on Pluto's doorstep.
And tell us more about this spacecraft and how different it is from other probes that have been sent to take pictures deep into our solar system.
New Horizons is a very high-tech, small, roughly 1,000-pound spacecraft with the most powerful battery of scientific instrumentation ever brought to bear on a first reconnaissance mission. It's in perfect health, it's full of fuel, it's on course, and it's on time for arrival July the 14th.
And once it gets there, how long is it going to take for us to get the images that it's sending from Pluto?
Well, New Horizons is already sending imagery back that's better than anything that's been obtained from the Earth, and we'll be getting better and better images each week. And then beginning immediately after closest approach on July the 15th, a big download from our memory banks on board the spacecraft begins. That will last for 16 months because we will have taken so much data.
But how long does it take to get that information back to us? Is there a delay?
Well, the images travel back, like the other data, at the speed of light by radio. And from Pluto's distance, 3 billion miles away, that's about 4.5 hours that the signals spend en route back to the Earth.
That's pretty fast, I think, for that long of a distance.
Well, it's moving very fast, the light waves. You know, it took us 9 years to get out there. It only takes the radio waves 4.5 hours to get back.
So unfair. What are you thinking it's going to look like? What kind of things will we see on Pluto?
Well, you know, we know that Pluto has an atmosphere and seasons. We see a polar cap. We know it has 5 moons, very distinct colors, complicated surface composition. But we've never been to this new class of small planets that are the planets of the Kuiper Belt before. So we really don't know what to expect. It's very much like the early pioneering days of space exploration. The first mission to Mars did not expect to find craters and river valleys, and yet they did. The first mission to Jupiter didn't expect to find ocean worlds and volcano worlds, but they did. So we're really going exploring, and that's the best part, is we're going to turn a point of light into a planet in just a matter of a couple of weeks in July, and we're going to bring everybody along for the ride.
And when you say planet, by the way, we should say there's some controversy over this. I know you're not a fan of this decision, but Pluto is technically not a planet. It is a dwarf planet.
Well, that's a decision that was made by people in another field, in astronomy, not planetary scientists. And I think that you'll agree with me when you see imagery of the Pluto system, you won't know what else to call it but a planet.
What do you think are the prospects of any hints of life on Pluto? It is very cold. We know that.
Well, the surface of Pluto is extremely cold, almost 400 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. But inside the planet, as you go deeper and deeper and the pressure increases from the ice and the rock that's above you, the material does reach a temperature where if there's water ice, it can liquefy and become an ocean on the inside of Pluto, much like Europa and other worlds that we've discovered. And if there's an ocean, then there's a possibility of biology.
Once this is done, are we going to know more about Pluto than we do about some of the planets that are closer to Earth?
Well, we won't know more about Pluto than we know about, for example, Mars, where we've sent over 24 missions. But we will know a lot more about Pluto than we knew about any other planet after a first reconnaissance mission, because we have more powerful cameras, a bigger variety of cameras, and other instrumentation, so that the data sets that we return are going to be much richer than anything we've had in the past for a first reconnaissance.
So why do we have such a fascination then with the little dwarf planet at the end of the line? What is it about Pluto that fascinates us so much?
You know, I've thought about that a lot myself. I'm glad you asked. It's interesting. Pluto's almost a brand unto itself.
Yeah.
It's the farthest. It's the most diminutive of the classical planets. It's been maligned by astronomers. It's always the one with all the question marks in the back of the textbook and the table. I think children identify with it because it's smaller. It's kind of cute. All those things combined. And, of course, people love exploration. You know, unwrapping that Christmas present to see what's inside. We haven't done anything like this since Voyager in the 1980s. And nothing like it is planned to ever happen again, a first exploration of a new planet, by any space agency on Earth. So all of that is just building excitement for this flyby by NASA.
That's Alan Stern, the principal investigator leading NASA's New Horizons mission to Pluto. It arrives on July 14th. Alan, thank you.
Thank you very much.